Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. The scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 2, portion of verse 14, and then verses 22 through 36. And the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. Today's message is titled, I Am. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Jumping down to verse 22, we pick up the action. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and had he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here ends the first lesson from Acts, chapter 2. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 48. The Jews answered him, Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, Now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar. Like you. But I do know him, and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Usually on the Holy Trinity Sunday, for the confession of faith, I would have all of us open the green Lutheran Book of Worship hymnal, open it to page 54, and together we would recite the words contained in the Athanasian Creed as together we confess the faith. Not today, though. The space necessary in the bulletin to include the words of the Athanasian Creed is just too much. And for our family worshiping inside, we could use the screen for all to seize and use. And we could turn to page 54 and see the words of the Athanasian Creed for us. But our family that's worshiping in the parking lot, they would be left out. And that's not proper to do. For whether one is inside or one is outside worshiping, together we are the beloved faith in Christ family worshiping together. Whether you're inside or you're outside, we are the beloved faith in Christ family worshiping together. The Athanasian Creed begins, whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. If you want to follow along inside page 54, whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish. Now this is the Catholic faith. We worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. A few comments here. The word Catholic, definition, that word Catholic, the definition is universal, involving all, and the way it's used here, it means pertaining to the whole Christian church. Pertaining to the whole of church, the church. That's what the word Catholic means. The word comes from the Greek compound word, which roots are kata and kaloa. Kata and kaloa, which means according to the whole. Catholic, that means according to the whole. By confessing this is the Catholic faith, and that's little c for Catholic, Catholic faith, we are confessing the faith that the whole church of Christendom confesses. We could confess this is the Christian faith of the church. That's what it means. I know I say this often, but it bears repeating as often as I say it. Faith. The faith is not an individualistic faith that one picks and chooses what one likes and what one dislikes to ignore. You don't pick and choose what you like and ignore what you dislike. No, not at all. The faith, the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, is the faith that has come down to us through the ages, unchanged, unaltered, for we do not have individualistic faith. This is important. We don't have individualistic faith. Rather, we are grafted into the Catholic faith of the church. What this means is that when you believe, the faith of the church becomes the faith that dwells in you. You're grafted into the church. And so the faith of the church becomes the faith that resides in you. The faith that resides in all who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As part of the church, filled with the faith of the church, we are to guard the faith. We are to keep the faith without altering. From the Athanasian Creed, a little farther down, whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish. Inviolable means never to be broken, infringed, or dishonored, for it is to be kept sacred. To be kept sacred. The faith is to be kept sacred. God in Trinity, Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. The Athanasian Creed then painstakingly and repeatedly with many words articulates the mystery of the unity within the Trinity and the Trinity within the unity of the three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is essential to the faith. Such the Athanasian Creed concludes with, this is the Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully. The nature of God, who God is essential to the faith. For the nature of God is revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. And that is the reason the creeds became to be. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. They came to be for how to succinctly and clearly articulate the faith, what the Bible, what the Scriptures reveals to us. To understand a little better the Trinity and the unity and the unity in the Trinity, we begin by reaching back in the years to the roots of the faith of the church. In the roots of the faith of Israel, the Hebrew children who were delivered from Egypt, reaching farther back to Abram, called out of Ur, the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, to the oneness of God who set them apart. For the nations around them worshipped multitudes of gods, from the unbroken line of the faith from Adam to his son Seth, through the generations to Noah, and through Noah's son Shem, and to the generations to Terah, and then was taught to Terah's son Abram. Through the years, these were a people distinct and set apart. Then God gave Moses the Torah to write down expressing what was. It is written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Along with verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Verse 4, the nature of the one true God. Verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6, our response to the one true Lord God. We will focus for a moment on the nature of God as revealed in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. For this is central to the confessed faith. In Hebrew, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is this. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Now you're going to try it right after me. So I'll say the word and I want you to repeat it aloud. Shema, Shema. Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Now you got to get the Echad. God. Now don't spit on each other when you do that. But Echad. Okay, so we're going to put it all. I'm going to say it again, and then we're going to all put it all together. It's Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai. Echad. So let's try this all together now. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And that's, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, as we know through TNT and day camp, it's a lot easier to remember something if you sing it. So this is one of the many melodies that's possible for it. And so I invite you to join with me. I'm just going to go over and over a few times so you sing it along with me. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Sing with me. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Are you getting it? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Isn't it much more powerful? And the Hebrew prayers there follow immediately with verse 5, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so our response to the one true God. Generation after generation, for thousands of years of Israel, the Hebrew children have confessed, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord our God is one. Then one day, a wandering teacher, a rabbi, calling fishermen, calling tax collectors, calling people from various walks of life, calling them as he come and be with him, as he said to each one, follow me. Through 3.5 years, these 12 experienced and learned from the teachings. Yes, experienced and learned from the teachings. Punctuated. Yes, punctuated with the reality of Jesus' healings. Jesus' crucifixion and death. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus taken back up to heaven before their very eyes. Through these, the disciples were convinced of the truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And this Jesus is Lord. And all echoing through the back of their minds is Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Our Lord God is one. From the earliest moments of their memories, of their prayers as a little child, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Peter preaching on Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 32 of Acts. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. There is one God. How do we understand this? There is one God. How to explain this oneness? Jesus is Lord and Christ. The Holy Spirit has come. How to understand the teachings of Jesus, especially when Jesus declared himself to be the timeless. Yes, Jesus declared himself to be timeless, as in our gospel reading from today, John chapter 8, beginning of verse 54. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jew said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was, I am." Jesus. This Jesus is glorified by the Father. But glory belongs to God, the Lord God alone. What does this mean? Then Jesus, full of truth, plainly exclaims, In fact, that he is, in fact, beyond time. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham came into being, before Abraham was born, before Abraham's entrance into existence, before all of that, Jesus, yes, the man, Jesus, standing before them, timelessly already existed. Always existing, with no moment of entering into existence as Abraham did. Jesus is making a clear distinction here about himself, differentiating between the existence of Abraham and the eternalness of himself, whose existence is, I am. The very reality, the very same reality the Lord God revealed to Moses at the burning bush, as written in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The people understood Jesus' claim to be the eternal God. For look how they responded. They picked up stones to kill Jesus for blasphemy. John chapter 8, verse 59. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself and slipping away from the temple grounds. Early church father Chrysostom wrote, as the Father used to use this expression, I am, so also doth Christ, for it signifieth continuous being, irrespective of time, on which account the expression seemed to them to be blasphemous. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And then also from Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, Gospel of John, when Jesus speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Helper, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Consoler, who did come on Pentecost. Yes, came on Pentecost. And from the New Testament, the Old Testament scriptures, revealed to us is the nature of the Holy Spirit as differentiated from the Father and the Son. And yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit is God. The three distinct persons are present at Jesus' baptism with the Father speaking, the Holy Spirit descending in the form of the dove, and Jesus being baptized. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit has will. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit has fellowship and is able to be in and is able to commune in a personal relationship. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know. The Holy Spirit breathed the scriptures. John chapter 3, Jesus said, we must be born of the Holy Spirit. And also in other places, it talks about the Holy Spirit indwells us. These realities and the truths of the Scripture reveal to us concerning the Holy Spirit. And there's much more to learn. It's a lifetime to learn. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, Trinity, yet one in existence as the one true God. In the Athanasian Creed, the nature of eternal, uncreated, infinite, almighty, all true of the distinct three persons of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thus the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Each one is Lord. And now from the Creed, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so the Catholic religion forbids us to say that there are three gods or lords. Then the Athanasian Creed goes on to the distinction of the Son as begotten of the Father, and the Holy Spirit as proceeding from the Father and the Son. Is further elaborated in that confessing of the faith of the church. What does this look like in life? How do we apply this in life? How does this reality of the Trinity and unity impact our lives? An example of recent events in the House of Representatives, and I'll let you discern whether this person understands the nature of Jesus as the Son of God, and does this person also understand the oneness of God? This representative puts forth an argument from silence. The weakness and irrationality of an argument for silence is that arguing from silence, well, silence can be made to say anything in support of whatever the person desires to validate. The argument from silence is a straw man argument. And it is worthless. It's a straw man argument that you build up the straw man and then you knock it over. That's why it's called a straw man. So argument from silence, well, you can make silence mean anything. So it's an argument that's worthless. But yet, a congressman this past week argued that Jesus said nothing about a certain human behavior as a number of states are passing laws protecting the innocence of young children and also protecting women's sports. This congressman also mentioned that a number of Tampa Bay Rays baseball players refused to wear the specialized jersey designed for Pride Month, a message their Christian faith cannot condone nor support. This representative took the floor of Congress and said that he would recite to them what Jesus Christ said concerning the subject, and then he was silent for several moments. Silence for the effect of drama. For Jesus did not say anything directly on the matter of the behaviors celebrated during Pride Month. Well, at least according to this congressman. Now I ask you, does this congressman understand the Trinity and the unity of the Lord God? Just because there's no direct red letter words of the red letter Bible, that's mean the sayings of Jesus are highlighted in red ink of certain Bible translations you can get. So having Jesus saying something specifically prohibiting said behavior, at least according to the congressman, so the state should not be enacting the legislation to protect the innocence of children in schools, nor protect women's sports from biological unfairness. Now, this is a very weak straw man argument, for this representative does not understand the nature of the Trinity and the unity of the one Lord God. For Jesus does speak on the matter when Jesus said, "In the beginning, God made them male and female." Jesus did say, and note that Jesus is quoting the scriptures as he speaks. This is from Matthew chapter 19, beginning of verse 4. "Haven't you read," in other words, quoting the scriptures, "haven't you read," Jesus replied, "at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one. Therefore, where God is joined together, let man not separate.'" Was Jesus silent on the subject, as this representative says? No, not at all. For Jesus is quoting the scriptures, reminded all gathered that God made them male and female for the purpose of being man and wife, with the two becoming one flesh. And the one who had done this is God, for God has joined them together. What the congressman was doing, and people do this in other situations too, they have a tendency to separate Jesus from the whole of Scriptures. And in doing so, separating Jesus from the Father and the Holy Spirit. For God gave Moses the Torah. And we find in Leviticus chapter 18, the oneness of God speaks as the Holy Spirit breathes the Scriptures concerning this very matter. So is Jesus, the Son of God, silent on the subject? What about the Scriptures breathed by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul concerning this very same behavior? Revealed throughout the whole of Scripture, Genesis to Revelations, is the faith we confess. So when you try to separate things out, you are separating Jesus from the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you're separating the Trinity and the unity in the Trinity. And it's no longer the faith of the church. See, revealed throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, is the faith of the church. We confess. The nature of God, the existence of one in three and three in one, who is outside of time and who is beyond and separate from all of creation, whose very power keeps all of creation in existence moment to moment. Can we truly understand this? No, not at all. Yet by faith we confess this reality, for the Scriptures have revealed this of the Lord our God. Portions of the Athanasian Creed, after expressing the Trinity and the unity, are these words, confess, that we confess. Whoever wants to be saved should think thus about the Trinity. What the Father is, the Son is, the Holy Spirit is. What one God, not three. The Creed then transitions to the work of salvation through the incarnation of the Son. And the transition is here, we confess. It is necessary for eternal salvation that one also faithfully believe that our Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. And I'm jumping down a little bit. For this is the true faith, that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God begotten before all worlds from the being of the Father, and he is man born in the world from the being of his mother. Existing fully as God and fully as man, jumping a little farther, he, the Son, suffered death for our salvation. He descended into hell and rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. This is the Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully. So Jesus rightfully and truthfully declares there in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. The Father is, I am. The Son, Jesus Christ, is, I am. The Holy Spirit is, I am. The one true God is, I am. Amen and amen.